Matthew 16, please. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. What we're going to do this morning is do something before we read Matthew 16. If you have a bulletin, the back of the bulletin is empty. I would recommend that you write verses down that I'm going to read at the beginning. I think you'll want to reflect on this. This morning's sermon, because it's the next passage in Matthew, I have to deal with the subject unless I become what most churches are, which is basically telling people what they want to hear or what the pastor wants to say. When you preach through a book, you have to deal with everything the Bible says. That's the difference. So what we're going to do is we're going to read four other texts, and then I'm going to have you stand and we'll read Matthew 16, first four verses. So if you can hold your hand in one place, but if you have a phone or something, I'm sorry, it's kind of hard to do that. We will begin in Acts chapter 15, please. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 and verse 12. Acts chapter 15 and verse 12. We're going to deal, and the title of this morning's sermon is simply signs. We're going to deal with signs. But if we're going to deal with signs, we have to be able to define what are we talking about a sign. There are three words that are somewhat connected. Miracle, wonder, and sign. I want you to see all three. Miracle, wonder, sign. Let's try it again. Say it with me. Miracle, wonder, sign. There's one caveat. Sometimes there are signs that have no relationship to miracles. But when we're talking about a miracle, some miracles are just miracles, and frankly, people don't even know about it. My guess is when we get to heaven, we'll recognize the miracles that God did that you knew nothing about. Some miracles on top of that are a wonder. What's a wonder? And some miracles that are wonders on top of that are signs. And what do signs do? Point to something. Thank you. Acts chapter 15, verse 12, please. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. I'm not sure. And by the way, the King James is not always consistent. I don't know if miracles is the word for sign. I can't remember. I'm just reading it in English. But miracle and wonder. All right. Romans 15, please. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 19. All I want you to do is to see miracles, wonders, signs. Those three concepts. Because this morning, the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to Jesus specifically asking for a sign. And Jesus rebukes them, and it's the strongest possible rebuke. Now, I'm not mad at anybody. This is not about anybody. But if you go to a charismatic church, those kind of chapters are just skipped. We tend to skip what doesn't fit in with what we believe. But in this church, the Bible is first and only about everything. Verse 19. Verse 19, please. Paul says, through mighty signs. And now you have both words, mighty, which is dunamis, signs, semeion, or semeia, plural, and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about into Illyricum, the Illyrian Peninsula, that is, for you old-timers, Yugoslavia. For you younger people, Kosovo, Serbia, Herzegovina, Montenegro, etc. Okay? Used to be one country. All right, 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. This is probably, the next two verses probably clarify as many as any. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12. 12, verse 12, please. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12, truly the signs of an apostle. And I'm not going to teach about that this morning, but this is what it says. Otherwise, apostles did some things that you and I don't do, can't do, will never do, because God used them to establish the church and write the New Testament. So they were confirmed by certain miraculous gifts. And you say, well, we have apostles in the church I used to go to. Well, the biblical requirements of an apostle are two. You had to have been with Jesus, and number two, seen the resurrection. So if you had apostles, they're 2,000 years old. You didn't have any apostles. You had people that were called that. The signs of an apostle, meaning those guys like Peter, Paul, James, John, etc., were wrought among you in all patience, and here you have all three words, in signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. So everyone look at me. We're going to stand and read Matthew 16. There are three concepts: miracles, dunamis, it's the word for power. A miracle is something that requires not my power or ability, but God's power. It's a miracle. You say, Pastor, do you still believe in miracles? Number one, the first point, we'll talk about that. The answer is yes, and the answer is yes before we talk. Yes, God still performs miracles. He's mostly interested in the greatest miracle of all. You being saved from your sin. Because I don't care about other miracles. If you're not saved from your sin, who cares about you got your back healed? Okay, there's only one great miracle, God doing that. Wonders in the New Testament focused on, and we'll see it in a minute later, wow, look what God did. Signs are above that. Signs point to something. If it's in Jesus' ministry, they point to Jesus confirming he is the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Christos, the Christ. He is the one fulfilling all of the Old Testament scripture. Point to him. If it's the apostles, because the apostles were people Jesus personally selected to found the church, were built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, they were appointed. So the miracles and the wonders, and if they're a sign, point to them saying, these are the guys that you must listen to. And that's who does miracles, excuse me, signs. All right. One last text, please. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. All this is introduction. Hebrews 2 and verse 3, please. We do not know who wrote Hebrews, unless you believe Paul did. And that's fine. You can believe whatever you want to believe. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. I would tell you, of course, that it's not Paul from the text we're going to read this morning. Verse 3. The author asks a rhetorical question and to his audience. And if you remember, Hebrews is a sermon written down. That's found in the last chapter. It's a word of exhortation. So he asks this rhetorical question. How shall we, he includes himself like a good speaker does, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them? So you got three levels. The Lord, them, those are the apostles, us, that's the author, and the people that are listening. So, began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Verse 4. God also bearing them witness, meaning that middle group, not the author, but that middle group, he bore witness to them with what? Signs and wonders and diverse or, you know, various kinds of miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. I'm not going to talk about that at all this morning, other than you got the three concepts. So everyone look here. A miracle is God exerting his power outside of the normal circumstances to do something we can't do. God does it. Sometimes in the New Testament, you have a wonder. You'll see that in a couple texts where it's like, oh, Look what God did. On top of that, there are things that are signs that were pointing to Christ, confirming that Jesus was the Messiah, or pointing to the apostles, confirming they are the ones Jesus chose to establish the church and write the scripture. Matthew 16, please. Let's all stand together. Matthew 16. And by the way, this morning is just simply trying to explain the issue of signs and why two times in Matthew's gospel, Jesus condemns people seeking signs. You have to ask the question and answer, why would Jesus condemn people and call them a wicked and adulterous generation who were seeking signs? That's the question we're going to answer this morning. Verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees. To translate this from Greek into English, the Pharisees were the party in the Congress that voted against McCarthy 14 times. The Sadducees are those four Democrats that are Looney Tunes. What do they call? The squad. Those two groups, look at me, have joined together. These people hated each other. But there's somebody they hate more than each other. Jesus. So, the Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came, tempting, the King James says, tempting him, trying to trick him, trap him, test him, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and angry. Lowering means angry, frustrated. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern, or you don't understand, or you don't get the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Do you know there are so-called Bible colleges? Jamie went to one. No, you didn't. That teach, they have classes called Signs and Miracles. Jesus calls that group wicked. Why? By the way, I didn't make this up. He says it. Please, if you get offended with Jesus. I'm not writing any of this. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah, Jonas. Jonas is the Greek form. Jonah is the Hebrew form. And I want to say this, I will not focus on this. The last line is devastating because it can be also understood, and it probably is meant to be understood this. And he deserted them. He left them. He was gone and departed. That's a devastating phrase. This morning, we're going to look at concepts of signs. So most of the time, in the New Testament, a miracle is the foundation, a wonder happens sometimes, and a sign is more limited. Why does Jesus condemn them for asking for signs? You need to answer that question in your own Christian thinking. That's what we're going to attempt to do this morning. Father, I ask your blessings now on this day. I ask that we will have some enjoyment as we begin, and seriousness as we work through this entire text and try to understand why is this so forbidden. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Signs. So friend, please look at me. A sign by its very name is a, look at me, is a sign. A sign in and of itself means nothing. It points to something else. So you're driving down the road. You're going on a major highway, 55 South, and you need some gas. You start looking for a... You're not looking for the sign. You're looking for the sign so you can get to the gas station. The sign points to the gas station, yes or no? If you're in the mood for McDonald's, you want some chicken nuggets or whatever's in those chicken nuggets, and you see some golden arches, you don't drive up to the golden arches and try to eat them, because the golden arches point to the restaurant where you can buy some whatever. I have some signs behind me. Go ahead, please. This is a sign that is just too true. If only vegetables smelt as good as bacon. Is that a true sign? Just hear somebody that's smart out there ought to invent vegetables that smell and taste like bacon. Can I have an amen? Man. Then there's some, I'm not sure about this sign. Notice this is a work-free drug place. This is somebody that was really being clever that didn't quite know how to do punctuation. This is a work-free drug place. I was like, okay, next one, please. This is from, I can think of three people. Don't laugh yet. This is my daughter, this is Christy, and this is Bambi, if you correct them. Warning, to avoid injury, do not tell me how to do my job. Wow, I like that. All right, let's look at the next one. And the next one is my personal sign. I always arrive late to work, but I make up for it by leaving early. Pastor Koch, go ahead and say it. Amen. He's not going to say anything. Okay. Then there's a serious sign. I don't know if you can read this one out here. I have to read it for you. Oh, this was, by the way, this is not. Do you get the point? If you're illiterate, please write. If you're illiterate, you can't write. You can't read the sign. This is like, duh. Next. This is from the Philippines. No entrance. Entry only. That is from the Philippines. I know where that, I'm talking. You can't come in here, but this is the only entrance. I don't know what that means. That's one of those signs that I don't quite understand. Then there's a serious sign. Do not cross this field unless you can cross this field in 9 seconds, because the bull can cross this field in 10 seconds. And by the way, for city people, please don't pet bulls. Don't go out west and try to pet buffalo, bears. We have people that have been in the city. They have no idea that animals will kill you. And then, don't put it up there yet. This is my favorite one. I took this picture in India. And it was my favorite one for two reasons. Number one, when I first saw it, I just died laughing. Then I got the real joke. Nobody in India got the joke. Some of you won't get the joke because it's English humor, American humor, which always plays on words that have similar meaning. And I showed this, Ezra, where are you at? I showed this to your brother, and your brother's smart. He looked at it, and he's like, okay. This is my favorite joke of the day. It's a sign for the restrooms. Go ahead. Men to the left because... They thought it just said this, men to the left, women to the right. That's not what it says. Men to the left because women are, go ahead and say it, always right. You better say amen. If you haven't learned that by now, you will learn that. All right, now do we have enough humor to begin the day? Thank you for putting those up, Christy. Now you can turn it all off. That is my, by the way, I'm telling you, I showed that to a bunch. I showed that to, which brother picked me up? I can't remember. What was it? Or Wesley. One of them, one of your good brothers. I showed that to him, and honestly, he just did this. Okay. That is really good humor. That is classic humor. Don't get me wrong, folks. I'm in the Philippines. I don't get Filipino jokes, and they don't get American jokes, ever. So we usually start a joke by saying, is it an American joke or a Filipino joke? And then I'll just go, he, because I don't understand what they're saying. It's like, where's the punchline to this? It's like, chapter 16, verse 1. Let's actually walk through the text. And friends, I'm going to walk through this text. So when we leave here, we'll be able to answer this question. Why does Jesus condemn these people for looking and asking for a sign? We start in verse 1. My first point, they wanted a sign. That's where we start. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, desired him or asked him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Number one, they wanted a sign. So I want to begin by taking a step back. This verse, for some Christians, can be very confusing. You say, why? Friends, we all have needs. Sometimes we have needs that we ourselves know we can't meet. For instance, my friend Michael's sister. She taught third grade here for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, 5 years, Sam, do you know? You don't know either. Lovely lady, godly Christian woman, got cancer. She had chemo, she had radiation, she had surgery a few weeks back. Can I tell you this? Humanly speaking, she has no hope outside of God. Now, Mike says she's done some improvement as of this last day or two. But friends, I want you to understand when we talk, Jesus is going to condemn signs. Well, they wanted a sign. But see, the problem is we can't confuse a sign with God doing that which we can't do, a miracle. We all have needs. We all have deep needs that we can't meet, needs that we can always bring to the Lord, always. The whole point of the Bible is we can bring our needs to the Lord, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. We can always come to the Lord and ask and say, Lord, please, I need you. I need your help. I have a problem I can't get beyond. Look in your Bibles, John 9:36, please. Excuse me, not John, Matthew, sorry. All of these are in Matthew. Matthew 9:36, please. I want you to see a word. There is a beautiful word repeated three times in various ways. Matthew 9:36. By the way, you can always bring your needs to the Lord and even ask him for a miracle. 9:36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Compassion on them. Friend, our God and the Lord Jesus on earth, compassion drives the engine. Chapter 14, please. Chapter 14, Matthew, verse 14. Matthew 14 and verse 14. Matthew 14 and verse 14. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was what? The King James says, moved with compassion toward them. Splinknidzoma, I mean, it's a word that, blah, 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 but it's a word that means from the depth of your being, you're moved compassionately with mercy and compassion toward someone. Chapter 15 and verse 32. 15 and verse 32. 15:32 says, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. So friends, please look at me. Do you know the question we're answering this morning? By the way, this is not a religious exercise. We're going to ask and answer a question. Why did Jesus condemn them for asking for a sign? We have to separate from that the fact that we all have needs at different points in our life that we cannot possibly have the strength to overcome. And we can always bring those to the Lord and ask Him to intervene in our life in various ways. We don't tell Him how. Medicine, not medicine, pure miracle, miracle of providence, none of that matters. Ask and you shall find. Seek, knock. He says it every place. It's all through the Scripture. We come to the Lord, listen, and out of His great compassion, according to His sovereign will, with our prayers, He can answer our prayers. That's not what's happening in Matthew 16. Look back at Matthew 16, verse 1. This is not asking for God to intervene. They're asking not for a miracle, but for a what? Man, do something tricky here, Jesus. You see, they wanted a sign, specifically a sign from heaven. A sign, frankly, they hoped He couldn't produce. What they were really doing, setting Him up. So they said, do some kind of a special sign. So why? So they could trap Him and prove you're not who you say you are. That is not a person that's a believer coming to the Lord, pouring out his or her heart, sharing his or her burden, and asking the Lord out of His great compassion and according to His will with our prayers to answer our... That's not that. They're asking for a sign. Come on, show me Jesus. Show us Jesus. Hoping He can't do it so they can trap Him and frankly, in some ways, so they can be in control of Him. Now, let's continue reading, if you would, with me in verse 3. 2 and 3, please. I have said they wanted a sign. Everybody understand the difference between a miracle and a sign. One of them just demonstrates, and by the way, all through the Gospel of Matthew, people come to Jesus and ask Jesus for help, and most of the time He helps them. Sometimes at a distance, sometimes by touching, sometimes without touching, sometimes through other people. He does it many different ways. That's not the issue. The issue is, Jesus, you do what I want you to do. I've even heard people say this. I'll believe in God if He strikes me dead right now. Well, how are you going to do that? You're going to be dead. Dummy. Verse 2 and 3. He answered and said unto them, when it is even, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red. And that lowering means angry or upset or raging. Oh, you hypocrites, you discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Number one, they wanted signs. Number two, they already had many, many signs. Good grief! We're going to look. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, please. We're just going to walk right through Matthew from chapter 4, chapter 9, and chapter 15. Three places. Matthew chapter 4. Friend, are you catching on to what I'm saying? They weren't asking for help, were they? They were looking for the dog and pony show. Do something spectacular. Woo! Did you see all those people get slain in the spirit? Whatever that's got to do with anything in the Bible. There's a lot of foolishness among people. My friend, if you have problems, this church will join with you in prayer to God. And out of God's great compassion, always according to His will or not, with our prayers, God can answer our prayers. But you don't go to God and demand a sign. He's already given you a bunch of signs. Matthew 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee. Galilee is not a big place. Lake County, Cook County, Will County, two or three counties. It says He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And look what it says, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. There were plenty of signs. They had seen Jesus heal people all over Galilee. Look what else it says. And His fame went throughout all of Syria, and that's pretty much where Syria is today. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers or different kinds of diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with demons, and those which were lunatic or somehow affected by the moon, at least that was the understanding, and those that had the palsy, some kind of where they couldn't control themselves. And it says, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from the non-Jewish area, the Decapolis, which means Deca, 10 polis cities, the 10 Greek cities, and from down in the south, Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from the other side of the Jordan River, beyond the Jordan River. Chapter 9, verse 35. 9, verse 35, please. So, friend, why does Jesus condemn them for asking for a sign? Let's not confuse miracle and sign. Let's not confuse, I have a need that only Jesus can help me with. We're all for it. We pray for it. We ask for it. And out of his compassion, and if it's according to his will, he, with our prayers, answers us. But friends, when they were asking for signs, it's like, wait a minute. Didn't you notice how many people have been healed? Haven't you noticed what I've been doing? Chapter 9, verse 35. It says, and Jesus went about all, get the word, all the cities and villages. And friends, that's hard to do. He went to the bigger towns, the little towns, and the tiny, not so much towns, teaching in the synagogues and preaching in the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jinpo, I see you here this morning. In this room, some people know the big city in Bataan, Balanga. They might know it the south, Mirabelis, right? The city you're from. I'm not sure if I remember. Is it Abukai or Pilar? Which one? Abukai. How many of you been to Abukai? Do you realize Jesus, look at me, went to every single little place like Abukai and smaller? Because there's, when you come out of Pampanga, there's even smaller ones that I don't even recognize as towns. There's just 12 houses there, and that's something. Friend, you know why he was so angry about them asking for signs? It's like, haven't you been watching what I've been doing? Don't you know what I've been doing? Asking for a sign. Signs and miracles. There's only one problem. How many signs do you think you need? Chapter 15, please. I don't have time to read all the interim text. Some of these are nothing but Jesus doing things like this. Chapter 15, please. Verse 28. This is one of those unbelievable healings. By the way, Jesus doesn't do miracles in church services. Jesus wasn't even around this person. He never even talked to this person. Verse 28, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour, and they were not even in close proximity. He could heal from a distance. Look at verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. Now we're in Galilee in the north, Sea of Galilee, same place as it was then. And went up into a mountain and sat down there, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, couldn't walk, blind, couldn't see, dumb, couldn't speak or hear, and maimed, couldn't use maybe their arms, hands, etc., and many others. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he did what? He healed them. Inasmuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, and the maimed to be whole, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and here's the wonder part. They glorified the God of Israel. So, my friend, they wanted a sign. They already had plenty of signs. How many signs do you think you need? They knew. Let me say this. They knew more than anyone that had gone before them, but they still rejected Christ. They knew more, and frankly, they experienced more than any of us have. Can you imagine? I want to ask you a question. Could you imagine being in a great crowd of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people? Look at me. And Jesus actually heals people with real problems? And he heals them all? And you're saying, show us a sign. And he's saying, shut up. What do you think I've been doing? What do you think these miracles are? What do you think all the people going, wow. Don't you understand? They point to, now I hate to use me, they point to Christ. I'm the Messiah. Don't you get it? But they weren't really interested in that. Let's look back at Matthew 16, verse 2 and 3, please. 16, 2 and 3. I have said they wanted a sign. The problem is they already had plenty of signs. They didn't want a miracle because they didn't really have any needs. They wanted to trap Jesus. They already had plenty of miracles, more miracles than they could count. We come to verse 2 and 3, and we need to pick up on this because Jesus calls them a hypocrite, and he also says you're missing the point. It says in verse 2, Jesus answered and said unto them, when it is even, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and angry, lowering. Sounds like Lowry, but I it has nothing to do with Karen, I know. Can I say this? We have a modern proverb that you sometimes hear. Red sky in morning, sailors take warning. Red sky at night, sailors delight. I mean, it's probably built on this parable. But the point of this whole parable is this. Oh, ye what? Hypocrites. You're playing a game, you hypocrites. You can discern. You can understand. You can read the weather, but you cannot discern the signs that you already have. I say to this, number one, they wanted a sign. Number two, they already had more signs than they could ever imagine. Number three, signs they should have been able to understand. They should have been able to understand, discern, or read. So I want everyone to look at me. By the way, folks, you don't have to come to Lake County. You all know that. You can go to the church that talks about signs and wonders every day. Good luck. Jesus condemns the very thing you're looking for. Why? Because you're not looking because you have needs. Show them Jesus. The problem is he's already shown them. And we should be able to understand when you read the New Testament over and over and over and over. But he wasn't just performing miracles. He was performing miracles that were signs that pointed to who is the Messiah? Ah, Jesus, you're the Messiah. Signs point. They should have been able to discern, read, understand the signs of the time. Why does he condemn them? They should have gotten it. Should have been able to figure it out. I want to ask you a question. Please don't answer unless you want to answer for your husband. When you drive on the road, do you notice these things called speed signs? Do you pay attention to them? Yes, you do. Everybody pays attention to them when you see right up ahead of you. It's funny. I'll be out driving on some major highway, and all of a sudden everybody slows down, and you think, is there a wreck? Oh, no, there's a cop up there. And all of a sudden everybody can read. All of a sudden 55 means... You say, Pastor Warren, do you always follow the speed limit? I always follow my speed limit. By the way, what is the sign? Does the police officer pull you over and said, did you see the sign? And what do you say? Yes, but listen, I'm sorry. This is political. I didn't identify with that sign. Oh, shut up. Did you see it said 55 and you were doing 105? You know, if you get on Highway 294, you have signs that say 55, 60, 65. If you get on 55, once you get away from the city, I think it goes up to 70. I don't know if we go 75 in this state. You say, do you obey? I'll tell you what I do. My wife already knows this. There's no need to lie to you. I have this little thing, you know, you click it on. And if it says 70, I drive very close to 70. Don't laugh, I do. I never drive more than 5 over. So let me ask you a question. Somebody, you've been out there. You've been on the road. You get on 294. It's always good for people where I'm from to come to Chicago. Because down there, it's weird. They're out in the middle of the country, and they're obeying the speed limit. Drives me crazy. You know, they're out in the middle of the country. There's a cornfield here. There's a cornfield here. There's a cornfield as far as you can see. And the speed limit says 55, and they're doing 54 because they don't want to break that speed limit. They come up here, and they get on 294. That's an awakening. 55 up here means less than 100. And they, it scares people because they're not used to, like, and I say, well, welcome to Chicago. Can I ask you a question? Can you read the sign? Will it do you some good when the police officer pulls you over and says, Cliff, did you see this? Did you read the sign? And Cliff says, that ain't going to help either. I got a ticket one time, and it still embitters me because I wasn't trying to speed. I didn't say I never tried to speed. I said I wasn't trying to speed that one time. I didn't feel bad because I figured the Lord was getting me back for the many times I speed. But Jenny and I were driving, of all places, to Lake Geneva, and we were on 50. And there's a place, it was 55, and I wasn't even speed. I was driving 55, but it drops to 45, and there was a very nice police officer there collecting my money. And she didn't ask me, how did you feel about driving 55 in a 45? She asked, how would you like to give me some money? Not her personally, of course. Recently, I was on Highway 55. It must have been in Springfield area or someplace. Might have been a couple visits ago. And there's a place near Springfield, Illinois, where 55 becomes three lanes on both sides. And whatever happened, they were working on a piece of the road. So 3 or 4 miles north, as I was heading south, there was a blinky sign that said, two left lanes closed ahead. What does that mean? Go to the right, get in the queue, get in the line, right? So, I'm a good guy, and honestly, with age, I really don't like cutting people off, so got over, no problem, driving down, and it was still driving pretty normal speed, got pretty close, and you know, they had the thing, and then they have these things going, arrows. I got down to the end, wherever I was, all I remember was, you have to have a couple people that want to follow the what? Now, I want everybody to look at me, you know I'm going someplace with this. They don't do it because they don't see it. They don't do it because they don't understand it. They will not get it. You have to understand, if you've seen this thing for 3 miles, you know you need to get over. And if you don't do it, it isn't a matter of ignorance. Yes? It's the same with the Pharisees. They've seen sign after sign after sign after sign after sign. They didn't need another sign. They didn't morally want to believe in Christ and follow him. Well, that day was the scariest thing I've ever happened. And nothing happened by the grace of God. Because somebody didn't do the normal, meaning normally, no matter how long the thing says, we're, you know, get over, you still have people cutting you off. I'm used to the idiots cutting you off. They usually drive, Rolando, a pickup truck. And they come up against my Prius and they look down. This day, as I'm driving 40, 50 miles an hour slowing down, a pickup truck or a car is driving 110. And they get down there and there's no place to get in. And they literally go around on the other side of the barricades and I'm thinking, oh, if that road is out. I don't know how, by the grace of God, this person survived. They went to the left, through barricades, around barricades, and then cut people off. But look at me in the eyes. When these people asked Jesus for a sign, it wasn't like he hadn't given them lots of signs. Let me say this to you. If you're looking for a sign, you're in the wrong church and you're in the wrong Christianity. The signs have already been given. We know exactly who the Messiah is. Now, if you're in need, a miracle, that's a different ballgame. By the way, they demanded a sign. I want to see a sign. Problem is, they had plenty of signs and they should have been able to understand those signs. Look at Matthew 23, please. Matthew 23, verse 37. This is the most beautiful, heart-rending verse in the New Testament. But most people fail to read the second half of the verse and the following. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which were sent unto thee. One of those would be John the Baptist and a bunch of others. How often, this is the Son of God speaking, would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Can you imagine the compassion as he holds out his arms and says, I would have gathered you together. But the problem wasn't they didn't have signs. They hadn't seen miracles. The text says, ye would not. They would not bow the knee, trust Christ, follow Christ. And I want to say this. The problem isn't you don't have enough miracles. There's too many miracles. The problem is, will you bow the knee? And if you won't, that's a matter of heart and will, not a matter of information. It's like the arrogant guy driving 110 coming up to a point. He doesn't care if you get hurt. He definitely doesn't care if you get cut off. Well, look what Jesus says in verse 37. And ye would not. Behold, sadly, your house is left unto you desolate. By the way, friends, less than 40 years later, there would not be an Israel. There has never been a temple. In A.D. 70, the Romans came, and by the end of A.D. 70, Titus, the son of the emperor at that time, Vespasian, destroyed the temple, carried all the plunder back to Israel. Look at me. If you go to Rome today, you can see the Arch of Triumph. At the top, they have a picture of carrying their treasures from Jerusalem into Rome, carved in stone. And the big one is the menorah, which came from the temple. Friends, this is no joke. He says, your house is left to you desolate, Israel. Look at the next verse. But I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Look back at Matthew 16, please. I'm trying to build a case to answer a question. Why in the world does Jesus condemn, in no uncertain terms, looking for signs? I could say in wonders, too. Number one, they wanted a sign. Number two, they already had all kinds of signs. Number three, they should have been able to read, understand these signs that they pointed that Jesus was the Messiah. It was crystal clear. But hold it. I have said this before. Please do not get deeply offended. If a child grows up in this church, and I mean actually comes, caveat, actually comes, and they walk away, I haven't yet seen any walk back. Why? Too much information. There comes a time, Jesus says, that is enough of your stupidity. It isn't about you don't understand. There's kids that come in and out of our church, and they're not really ever in Sunday school. They don't come to Awana. They don't hear the Bible. They don't hear the Bible at their level. But if you grow up here, by the way, these people saw too much. There came a time that was done. Well, let's continue. Point number four. And we'll look at verse 4. Remember, all of this is signs according to Jesus. I think I should say that. Jesus in verse 4 says this, a wicked, evil, an adulterous, meaning spiritually an adulterer, generation, group of people, seeketh after a sign. I have said they wanted a sign. They already had more than enough signs. They should have been able to understand and discern the signs. Number 4, seeking after a sign is not a good sign. Is that play on words good enough for you? If you're looking for a sign, that's not a good sign. That's the sign of someone that's evil and, frankly, an adulterer towards the living God. Now, just in case you don't like what I'm saying, look at Matthew chapter 12. This is actually repeated twice. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 38. And forgive me, we're a little late today, and I am asking for your patience. I'll be done shortly. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. So seeking after a sign is not a good sign. I don't have time to go to the next concept. Number five, no sign or no further signs will be given, period. Look at me in the eyes, friend. Jesus is not in the sign business. Now, if you have a need, will he answer your prayers? Maybe. Will he answer our prayers? Bigger, maybe. Out of his compassion, according to his divine will, yes. But you say, I want him to prove himself. What you're saying is everything he's already proven, you're rejecting. Asking after that kind of a sign is not a good sign. No further signs will be given. And we come to the end. We'll stay right here in Matthew 12. We'll go to Matthew 16 in a moment. Only one sign is ultimately important and necessary. What is that sign? Look at verse 38 again, please. Certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered and said, Master, teacher, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil or wicked and adulterous spiritually generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Why Jonah? Glad you ask. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights, where? In the heart of the earth. Meaning what? Friend, there's only one sign that's important. You say, Pastor Warren, if Jesus would just perform a sign, my relative would get saved. Look at me. Not according to Jesus. Luke 16, he says, even if someone came back from the dead, they have Moses and the prophets. And I would say this to you. Are you listening? They have the whole Old Testament, Moses and the prophets, and they got the New Testament. If they won't listen to those signs, this is the problem, not information. There's only one sign that's important. You say, what is it? Well, it's the only thing that's really important, that the Son of God came. The Son of God did not what Jonah did, but there's parallels in what? Jonah was in the belly of that whale. And guess what? The Son of God came, took upon himself our sins. This is the greatest sign of all. He took upon us his sins. He was crucified for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended back to the Father. That is the great sign. So when you're asking, show me something, Jesus, so I can believe, he's thinking, have you looked at all the signs? And by the way, have you contemplated the great sign? Look back at Matthew 16, verse 4, and we're finished, please. Matthew 16 and verse 4. Matthew 16, verse 4, which says the same thing. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, or Jonah. He doesn't expand like he does in the other place, but my friend, here's it. The Lord's death for us, for sinners. His burial, his resurrection, his ascension back to the Father. You say, why didn't Jesus just fill my bank account? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, number one. But number two, do you realize if you have Christ and you come to Christ and you are saved, in eternity, you're not going to have need of a bank account. You say, well, I'm sick. My toe hurts. My back hurts. I have a headache. By the way, I'm all for you getting fixed. But you do realize one day, because of the sign of Jonah, because Christ died and was buried and rose again for you, one day there'll be no more curse, there'll be no more sickness, all tears will be wiped away. You say, Pastor Warren, I want to live the good life. I want to have eternal life. Where do you get that from? You get that from Christ. You say, I want to have peace of mind. Well, the Lord can give you peace now, but one day you're going to meet the God of all peace. And that happens because of the sign of Jonah, Christ. You say, I want to be happy, happy, happy. Yes, everybody wants to be happy, but one day you will experience true happiness forever with the Lord in his presence because of the sign of Jonah. You say, Pastor, I'm afraid, and I want to say this to you. There are people in this room who live your whole life under the fear. You're not only afraid, but you have fear, 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 fear. I can't fix that, but I can tell you what. One day there will be no more fear. You say, why? Because we'll be in his presence, and all of the fears that you have created in your head will be gone. So I want to say everything again. Some people come to Jesus. We want to see a sign. They wanted a sign. The problem is they already had lots of signs. And they should have been able to understand those signs that pointed, I am the Messiah. Seeking signs is not a good sign. It's a sign that something's evil. You will not accept what the Scripture says. No other signs are going to be given, and there's only one important sign. What is it? The Son of God came to die in our place, was buried, and what? Rose again. The sign of Jonah. That's the sign you need to be thinking about. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Bless these truths to our hearts. Father, I never want to discourage a Christian from praying. But unfortunately, we don't think well, and stupidity fills our minds. And we have charlatans in the guise of religion selling foolishness, everything except Christ. So some people go to places where they get everything but Christ, and I'd rather have Christ and forget everything else. Because with Christ, I have all things necessary for life and godliness, and I have all things necessary for eternity. May we focus on the great sign, Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection. That is our hope. That is our only hope. And we give you thanks in Christ's name.